Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And big thank you to John Deck. Talked to him yesterday, and he'll be sponsoring the podcast for another year. So that is very good news. Of course, we're still waiting to hear from the Bradshaw Bourbon people, who I just know are going to jump in at some point when they see just how awesome this program is. And they'll be like, hey, we can't miss this opportunity. So, but I've told John that, you know, and he can sponsor something differently if necessary. Anyway, it's nice to see Ben has shown up in the comments. Well, this ought to be an interesting evening.
Join us for the show,
but right. Couldn't join us for the show, but he can be a dick in the comments. I see several others of our regulars are here as well. And I do want to acknowledge that Casey Kasem will be here again this week. Now, last week, he left us a little audio. This week, he's actually left us a video message. Yeah, and I have checked out about the first 10 seconds just to make sure we're good. And it looks like we are. So I think we're going to have Casey Kasem back for all of you to enjoy it. I'm sure he's got quite a wonderful little ditty worked up for all of you. So again, welcome in.
Steelers Freak coming in hot in the comments here.
He started off like it was 10 minutes before we went live, and he was already commenting.
Ben had a meeting in LA with the Hair Club for Men president. That's all time wow. Comment there.
That wow. Amazing. Holy jeez. That's, that's not coming in hot. That's coming in like scorching. Holy shit. That's funny. Wait a minute. What am I saying? I should be at the same hair club. No, actually I shouldn't. I like my baldness. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, tonight is our defensive draft preview. Last week, we took a look at a lot of the offensive guys that are going to be eligible in this draft. Some of the guys the Steelers may be interested in drafting and bringing aboard the team. And so this week, we look at the defense. And man, there's, as always, a plethora of options for the Steelers in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 as it currently is. But anyway, we'll get into all that. Ian, first of all, what are you drinking tonight? That's the most important thing everyone wants to know.
So I cracked open this Redemption Rye, which is in this gigantic bottle, which was the same price at the liquor store as the regular Redemption Bourbon, which is also delicious, and I highly recommend it. The rye is fantastic. Good. It is so smooth. Oh my goodness. It is really damn good.
So there's a chance that you may be like passed out by the end of this program.
We'll see if I make it to Casey Kasem. Yeah, I don't know.
This going down really, as smooth as you claim.
This is really good whiskey.
Well, Noah just said this is going to be such a peaceful and civil show.
You guys in the comments will have to make up for it. So
that's right. We'll let you guys make up for it in the comments section. We'll try to slip in a few F-bombs here and there just to make up for the loss of Ben. But in any case, hope everybody's doing well out there, and hopefully spring has sprung where you are. The Steelers made a bit of a surprise this week. They went and traded for a veteran wide receiver, and I'll be very honest, it's something that I know we've all kind of been clamoring for, and probably me more so than anybody. I just think that it's good to have a veteran receiver in that room. Ian, what was your initial thought when you saw what was happening here?
Yeah, my initial thought on Allen Robinson was like, holy crap, that's a big name. I hope they didn't give up too much for him because he has a pretty big salary cap number, and you know, but he's a big name. He's had success in the NFL. He's been around for a long time, 9 years in the league. So he does fit that veteran receiver mold. But I was also looking at like, okay, the Rams already paid him $5 million as a roster bonus, and he's got a $10 million base salary this year. Like, this is a lot of money to spend on a guy whose best position is as an outside receiver. And we already have two of those. So where's he fit in on the offense? And that's a lot of money. And I, you know, But then it's like, oh, we didn't even give up a pick. We just swapped picks in the seventh round and got the Rams to take on half of his salary. So that made me feel a little better. Yeah, $5 million, still quite a bit of money to be paying a, you know, number four, maybe number three wide receiver. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't hate it. Like, we wanted a veteran receiver. He is that. We wanted a guy who, you know, brought some more experience to the locker room. And, you know, looking at Allen Robinson's game, even back when he played at Penn State, he was never a great separator, but what he did a really good job of was winning contested catches and winning and battling for balls in the air. And even in the NFL, he's played with some bad quarterbacks and put up some pretty good numbers with.
That's a great point.
And so I think now between Robinson and George Pickens, we have arguably two of the better receivers in the league at making contested catches and winning 50-50 balls in the air down the field. So, you know, I think that will certainly help Kenny Pickett, who's not a rookie anymore, but will help a second year quarterback, you know, whose accuracy may not be the best or who may not have the strongest arm that, you know, can't lead his receivers down the field because he doesn't have that strong arm to just bomb it. But Robinson and Pickens can both go up and make those catches in contested situations. So I don't hate the move. I'm kind of like, yeah, fine. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm not over the moon about it, but I don't hate it either.
No, I you're absolutely right. And I, you know, I initially was like, the guy's going to be 30. He's coming off a year which he played one game. He really hasn't had a great year since, what, 2020? I'm thinking, what? But you're absolutely right. You got to wait for the details. You got to see what they gave up, and which essentially is $5 million is what they'd be out. And my question to you is, do you think this changes their draft strategy at all in terms of looking at wide receivers?
They didn't spend a lot of time scouting this wide receiver class. And, you know, the more and more that comes out closer to draft day, the league as a whole seems really low on this wide receiver class. Yeah. You know, I even saw a comment to the effect of, it's such an indictment on this year's wide receiver class that the Steelers went out and swapped seventh round picks for a number four receiver because they didn't think they could get one that good in the draft. Right. But you know, this class is not as good as last year's receiver class. There's some, you know, decent guys in this class, but you know, last year there were what, four or five that went in the first round. And this year there's only one that seems like a guaranteed first round pick in JSN, who we talked a lot about last week. So I won't rehash all that, but nevertheless, I think, you know, they didn't heavily scout the wide receiver class. It doesn't seem like as good of a class overall as previous classes have been. So, you know, they still need another guy at receiver, because I don't think you can go into the year with Deontay, George Pickens, Allen Robinson, Calvin Austin, and Gunnar Olszewski as your five receivers. I'd like to see him bring back Miles Boykin personally.
Yeah.
But I think they still need at least one more guy, maybe two. So I wouldn't be shocked if they drafted one. Might not be till the seventh round, but I wouldn't be shocked if they drafted one
either. Well, you know, Berner in the comments made a good point. You know, probably a one-year rental because unless they do as an extension, but, you know, he's got a big cap hit next year. So I think that's the reason that they will find somebody in this draft, whether it's maybe third, fourth, or seventh. But, you know, like you're saying, the draft class, it's almost like the Munchkin draft class. There's a lot of really small, quick, fast receivers. You know, when you hear people talking about Zay Flowers as one of the top receivers in the draft, I mean, the dude is like, what, 180 pounds soaking wet?
Yeah, 5'9", yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so that's a far cry from what we've seen in past years. And by all means, I hope those guys go out and tear it up and have great careers. But yeah, it's not an overall great class. So we'll see, but I think they'll still draft a receiver at some point. As far as the draft goes, we're a week out, and I know some people have asked, and we'll definitely be doing a live show. I think now the only major question is when we'll actually go live. we'll have some debate about that with the Steelers drafting at 17. And if you're familiar with the first round of the NFL draft, it doesn't take as long as it used to, but it still takes a little while. We could pop on at maybe 7, 8, 9, 10. We could pop on before the picks have even made. We don't even know yet, but you will definitely know. We'll send out the information, and we may just be sitting here live waiting for something to happen, or one of us. I don't know, but we will be live. And just real quick, Burner asked, did anyone from Steelers go to Michigan State? I assume he's talking about Jaden Reed. Did Gorsuch go there?
I think it was like an area scout. Yeah.
I do too. And Reed is. Yeah.
Let me see here. Hold on. Let me get over to that sheet on my spreadsheet.
Get to that spreadsheet. Yeah. Just real quick, Reed is.
Yeah, it was Gorsuch that went there.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy. I mean, he's not real fast. He's not overly quick, but the guy he's a gamer. Yeah. He makes plays. He's returned a couple punts for touchdowns despite not having great speed. He's a combat catch guy. But, again, he would probably be around 4. I really think if they draft a receiver, it's going to be him or Mingo.
Yeah, I like Mingo a lot. And they brought in Reed for a pre-draft visit, too, if that means anything.
They did. That's right.
Reed, Cedric Tillman from Tennessee, Mingo from Ole Miss, Charlie Jones from Purdue, and I guess they saw Xavier Hutchinson when they all went to Iowa State's pro day, which blows my mind that they went to Iowa State's pro day, but we'll talk about that more when we hit edge rushers in a couple minutes.
Bingo. So let's do that. Let's jump into the defense right now on the draft. And we'll start with defensive tackles. We'll start right in the middle there. And before we even get to that though, Ian, the Steelers have kept Larry Ogunjobi. They've added Armin Watts. They've added, Braden Fehoko. Are they still looking for somebody, do you think?
I mean, maybe it's possible. I think that Isaiah Loudermilk now finds himself pretty squarely on the roster bubble.
Absolutely.
Because they just drafted DeMarvin Leal last year, and I think they like what he can do. I'm really curious how they view Leal in the future, because they kind of, before he got hurt, were using him as almost like a heavy edge in like second down run situations.
And that was primarily after Watt got hurt.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that was after they got gashed on the ground a few times and, using him opposite Highsmith as kind of a heavy edge in run down situations seemed to work pretty well. And then Leal got hurt. So I'm interested to see if they deploy him more as a backup edge rusher where they have a shortage, or as a defensive end, defensive tackle, interior lineman type 5-tech player. I think defensive line is certainly squarely on their radar. They have done a bit of scouting of the defensive lineman in this class. And I think one of the things I noticed when I started to look through like who all, they went to pro days for, they sent position coaches to pro days for that they brought in for pre-draft visits. It seems like this year between Omar Khan and Andy Weidel, and obviously Mike Tomlin, they've scouted the top of the class a lot more than in previous years. In previous years, they've used their pre-draft visits to bring in some guys they might be targeting in the middle rounds of the draft, or even as like undrafted free agents or late round guys. Whereas this year, pretty much all of their pre-draft visits were like guys that were projected in the first three rounds. It seems like anyone they bring in, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy might be an option at 32 or 49. Like not 17, but like 32 or 49. Yeah. Yes. Every guy, it's like, oh yeah, he could be an option at 32. But I guess it makes sense too when you think about it, right? We have 4 picks in the top 80 of the draft, and then we don't have another one till the 7th round. So it makes sense to kind of scout those top 100 guys a bit harder this year. I don't know if that's a trend of the new regime or if it's just that's where we have the picks this year, so that's what we're scouting.
It's a good question. And just looking at and we like to use Dane Brugler's The Beast as kind of our guide sometimes. And first of all, Ian actually does unbelievable work putting together a spreadsheet for us at Steel City Blitz to use. I mean, he's got everything on there that you need to know about these guys, who visits, who doesn't. I was really surprised. Kalijah Kancey, did I see he did not have any personal visits? Or was that...
Clancy would have counted as a local visit, so I don't know if it would have gotten reported.
Right.
Because like Joey Porter Jr. counted as a local visit, so he didn't count against the top 30. But for Pitt's Pro Day, well, and part of it was for Pitt's Pro Day, yeah. They had who did they have there? They had Frisman Jackson, they had Jackson, Faulkner, and Brown as their position coaches.
Okay.
And then they had three area scouts as well. So they had six guys at Pitt's Pro Day, but you know, it was like the running backs coach, the wide receivers coach, the defensive backs coach,
yeah,
and then three area scouts. So none of the big guys were at Pitt's Pro Day this year. But yeah. I would still put Kalijah Kancey on their radar just because of their familiarity with him. And they have scouted, you know, the top of this class. You know, Mike Tomlin, Omar mm-hmm. Khan went to both Georgia and Clemson's pro yep. day and Michigan's pro day. So right there, you've got Jalen Carter, Brian Breesy, Mozzie Smith, mm-hmm. Byron Young from Alabama, a little further down the board.
Right.
And then we talked about Kancey. They brought in Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, who they talked with a lot at, I think, the Senior Bowl,
yes. where
he blew it up. And then Siaki Ika from Baylor, who might be the best pure, like, nose tackle in the draft. They brought him in for a pre-draft visit. So they've scouted the top of this class pretty heavily at defensive tackle. So I wouldn't be surprised. The only way I could see them taking one in the first round would be if they traded up for Jalen Carter, if he starts dropping a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them take one of those guys at 32 or 49 in the second round.
That's kind of where I'm looking at it too. I don't, you know, the kid out of Clemson, Bruce, I think he's more 32.
Yeah. He would be a good pick at 32.
Yeah, he would. And I just, there's just something there that I don't see a defensive tackle at 17. I just think there's need at corner and tackle. But again, we know how the Steelers have done things. And that's what's going to be really fascinating with this is with Omar Khan. Do we see some changes? We've already seen some changes in how they do some things with trades and free agency. So, you know, who knows? Maybe the draft is very, very different this year. I don't know. Apparently, we have breaking news from the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals have released a new uniform.
They were going to do that.
According to a couple of our viewers and frequent chatters, they're not overly impressed. I have not looked at them yet. I'll do that. But, you know, it's always good to have some uniform critics on the show.
I love uniform critics. They're the
best. Oh, absolutely.
The one other name I want to mention on the defensive line is Carl Brooks from Bowling Green. They sent Carl Dunbar to his pro day, and yep. they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. So he seems like a fourth-round guy. I'm thinking that might be kind of a fallback option of if they don't get any of the guys in the first – three rounds, maybe in the fourth they take a look at Brooks.
He is a guy that was
now here's a guy
now here's a guy he was absolutely dominant in the MAC. All right, now that's a loaded statement, because what does that really mean? Right. You know, he's playing against other guys in the MAC, and that's not like playing in the SEC or the Big Ten. That said, the guy showed every week, and just was a constant pain in the rear for everybody he played. So, you know, who knows? At 6'3", 300 pounds, maybe that translates. I don't know. It's hard to say when you've got a guy that's got the engine that this guy does, because he just goes. So I'm glad you brought him up, because he is one of those sneaky dudes that could be there if we don't get anybody else. The other guy, too, is Gervin Dexter.
From Florida, yeah.
You know, and we were talking about him a little bit today. He's, like, got all the measurables. you know, he's got the height and the weight and the athleticism and everything, but he just, and like I was telling Ben today, man, is he slow off the ball? It's mm-hmm. it's just bizarre for a guy inside there. Usually you think they'd be a little quicker, but, you know, so he's somebody the Steelers have been very interested in too. So if I put you on the spot, which I'm going to do, is there one guy in particular you think the Steelers would love to have there? And don't say Jalen Carter, because that's, yeah.
You know, I Keanu Benton really blew it up at the at the senior bowl, yeah, and looked really good and turned a lot of people's heads. I really like Breesy from Clemson. I think I'll say this about him. The year we drafted Stephon Tuitt, there were some mock drafts that had him going to us in the first round, and I was like, yeah, it feels a little rich for a first round pick, but in the second round, he feels like a steal. And I feel like that, I'm not saying Brian Breesy is Stephon Tuitt, but I feel like at 17, that's a bit rich for Brian Breesy, but at 32, it's almost like, I feel like he's a borderline top 25 player in this class. And if he's still there at 32, it's really worth the pick, but 17 feels a bit rich for him.
Yeah. I'm the exact same way. I feel the exact same way. And I, you know, if he's already gone, then, you know, then I Ika just fascinates me with his size and his ability to move over the nose. And you know, he kind of tailed off a little bit this year. But, man, I'm just fascinated because the Steelers really haven't had somebody like that in a while. But, you know, who knows? Oh, Ben's posting pictures on our private chat
of the beer he's drinking of the bar, because he's too good to join us.
Because he's too good to join us. Right. Tough break for him. D lineman out, you know, on the wide side, if you will. And I'm just kind of pulling that up here while I keep talking.
Edge rushers.
Do we want to go to edge here? Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's talk about edge.
Yeah, it begins and ends, I think, Will Anderson. And I know there are some people that are suggesting Tyree Wilson might end up being a better pro. And I'm not going to go there, but it's interesting. And it's all I'll say to that effect. But I don't think either of those guys are in the Steelers' wheelhouse. They'll both be gone relatively quickly. What is Van Ness? I mean, the guy doesn't start once at Iowa, but yet is looked at as a potential top 15 pick. I mean, how the hell does this happen?
I mean, he's an athletic freak, and you always want to draft athletes at this position. This is the one position on the field where college production doesn't matter. True. You know, like, think about, let's just talk Steelers history. Sorry to open an old wound, but we drafted one guy who was a terrible athlete but highly productive in college in 2013. And then a few years later, we drafted a guy who was not very productive but extremely athletic. One of those guys is still playing in the league right now. One of them barely got a second contract. So, you always gamble on athleticism with edge rushers, not college production. So I'm less concerned about that with Van Ness. Van Ness is a heck of a player. And, you know, he's one of the few sophomores in this draft class. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yep.
So I think that probably played into it a bit too, with Iowa just being an underclassman. But he certainly got the size at 6'5", 270, and showed the athleticism. So he's young and athletic, which is what you want to gamble on.
Yep.
Nolan Smith feels kind of like a tweener between inside and outside. That at 238, he's almost way too light to play on the outside, right, especially in a 3-4. But Nolan Smith could probably make some 4-3 team extremely happy, playing as an outside backer in a 4-3, especially as a pass rush specialist. So, you know, the top four are definitely first round picks and may all be off the board in the top 15. But then there's this weird gap of, like, you've got those top four, but then Miles Murphy from Clemson is probably like way down of barely being a fringe first rounder.
Right. He's like in that 30s range.
Yeah. And then some other guys like Will McDonald from Iowa State, Keon White from Georgia, Felix Anaduke from Kansas State. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his whole name. I really like him, though, the Kansas State kid.
Yeah, he's coming out a little bit. He's starting to get a little more publicity in the last week here.
Yeah, I would not be upset if we drafted him. Will McDonald from Iowa State also tested very well athletically. Yeah. I watched some of his tape, and Iowa State, like, had the stupidest defensive alignment. It was like they were in like a 3-2-6 dime package every play, and he was playing as one of the three down linemen, but also trying to like rush the passer. He looked like he had a lot of straight line speed and not a ton of wiggle to his game, but you know, the Tomlin and Khan went there. To Iowa State's pro day. They went to Iowa's pro day, so they've seen a lot of these guys at the top of the class too. They brought in Felix Anaduke from Kansas State and Keon White from Georgia Tech, both as pre-draft visits. Also the kid from USC, whose name I won't even try and pronounce.
Yeah, he'd be Samoan.
And then I think, you know, if you're looking for a down the board guy who they might look at in the seventh round, Robert Beal from Georgia. Yeah, obviously they were at Georgia's pro day, but they also brought him in for a pre-draft visit. So if he's still hanging around in the seventh round and they didn't take an edge rusher earlier, he might be a guy they take a look at.
So I looked at Beal today. He's a fascinating guy. I mean, what's the old saying? You know, you just see a guy when he gets off the bus and you automatically know what he does. And this dude looks like an outside linebacker. He was a five-star coming out of high school, and he just really – it just didn't click at Georgia. He was there 5 years. He played in all 15 games this year, started, I think, eight. He had some big plays. I mean, he had a strip sack in the SEC title game and stuff, but it just – for whatever reason, it just didn't work for him there. And that can happen when you've got the talent that you would have on the Georgia team. So – He could be one of those dudes that just shocks you. I don't know. But I agree with you about McDonald. You know, I'm not real sure what you're getting there. I mean, he's long, he's athletic, but, you know, what does he do well? Keon White, Ben, we were talking about him today a little bit too. He might be more of like a defensive end, maybe a five tech something. I mean, he's like 285.
Yeah, he reminds me a little bit of Chiccolo when Chiccolo came out of Miami.
Yeah, that's right.
You were kind of like, what's he going to be? Is he going to put on 10 pounds and be an interior guy, or is he going to lose 15 pounds and be an edge rusher?
In either way, it didn't matter.
Well, with Chiccolo, it did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They went with the edge rusher, but yeah. Yeah, he kind of feels like that in-between kind of guy. He's another guy, though, who if Keon White gets drafted by a 4-3 team that has a really damn good edge rusher on one side, he could play that other side of that like run stopping anchor that can kind of just hold the edge really, really well. Who is the guy? Who is the guy for the Vikings when they had Jared Allen on the one side?
John Randall was in the middle.
After that, like 2000s ish for the Vikings.
I know who you're talking about. Me. Somebody in the chat's got to know that.
But he was never like the best pass rusher,
right?
But he was a really good complement to what Jared Allen did on the other side.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating. I can't think of it, but like I said, hopefully somebody chimes in with that.
I'm gonna look back now because it's gonna annoy.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll fill in here a little bit.
You talk about edge rushers.
Yeah, I mean they showed interest in Zach Harrison at Ohio State, who's probably looking at, you know, a third, fourth round area. I would say the kid that is most likely the sneaky one here is from Kansas State. You know, on a Duke Azoma. I got a feeling they liked him.
Everson Griffin. There we go.
And Griffin. Yeah.
He was in the league for like 12 years too. Like,
yeah. Oh no, yeah. I know. I think he was like 97, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was never like, I mean, he had a couple double digit sack seasons in the middle of his career, but he was never like the guy, because Jared Allen was the guy, but like he was a really good anchor on the other side. And that's kind of how I see Keon White, of being like that guy who can be the good anchor and get some sacks every now and then, but not necessarily be the guy.
No, I think that's a really good comp there.
All right. Sorry, you were talking about
no, we're good
about
I'm kind of fascinated with some of these guys in the draft at the outside linebacker position, because it's not. I mean, it's a need for us. We just don't know what the discussions have been with Alex Highsmith. And I think anyone that just automatically assumes it's a done deal, that he's going to sign an extension and everybody's going to be, you know, super happy, it doesn't work that way. Alex Highsmith knows that he had a damn good year last year, and knows that if he does the same thing this coming year, he's going to get paid on the free agent market. So, plus the Steelers have to be careful, because you're already paying Watt, you're already paying Minka, you're paying Cam Hayward. I mean, you got to be careful here about who it is you're paying. So,
I think Kenny Pickett wins the next three Super Bowls, you're going to pay him $69 million a year.
Fully guaranteed, I think. Fully guaranteed, $500 million. Let me see. Where did I? Let's move off to.
You brought up a good point about the current roster, though, because let's not forget, they just cut Jameer Jones. So they have, unless they see DeMarvin Leal as an outside linebacker, they have no depth at outside linebacker right now. It is Watt and Highsmith and nobody.
Nothing.
So they almost
me and you right now.
Yeah, yeah. They have to add bodies there, unless they're moving Leal there, in which case they only have three and they still need to add bodies.
Berner said, he asked if we have a ton of cap space next year, or is the tequila lying to him? Well, it could be a case.
No loves dose.
Both. Yeah. Could be a little both, Berner. Well, you know, you look at what comes off the books. I mean, obviously Trubisky's, $8 or $10 million comes off the books, and, you know, a few other things. I don't know. We'd have a ton, but
right now we're projected at about $35 million, give or take. But I mean, they can make space with, of you course. Know, TJ Watt and doing some renegotiating, and then, you know, they'll have opportunities to make more space, as they always do. And then, you know, like with Allen Robinson, who I think has a $10 million base salary next year, they could probably cut him and save that. And so, you know, there's opportunities for more space, but yeah.
Yeah, and as Ben pointed out, and has mentioned on the show, they do have a lot of space, but they only have about 28 players that'll be under contract. So
yeah,
that gets chewed up very, very quickly.
Yeah. I would not at all be surprised to see us take. I mean, if Van Ness or Nolan Smith is there at 17, I mean, that's really friggin' hard to pass up on one of those guys. And we're not quite in the position now that we were when we drafted Cam Hayward. But, like, remember when we drafted Cam, we were like, oh, this is almost like a luxury pick, because, like, we were, and that was, you know, right after we went to the Super Bowl. Right. We were like, we have pretty good depth at every position.
Kiesel was still there.
Yeah, but it was like Kiesel was in his 30s. Aaron Smith was on the way out. Casey Hampton. We were like, okay, like, we've got starters here, but this is a draft pick for the future. And we're not there right now, I don't think. But if, you know, with Highsmith entering the last year of his contract, drafting an edge rusher in the first round is almost a pick for the future. It's not a pick for right now, which is kind of a luxury in the NFL, but also, like, you know, those guys don't grow on trees. So if you have the opportunity to take one of those, and especially with a Nolan Smith who could play inside or outside, you know, given his size, speed, and weight, you know, there's a huge opportunity there. I think my concern with Smith would be, visually playing inside linebacker is very different than visually playing outside linebacker. You have to see and read a lot more on the inside.
Yep.
So I making that transition is harder than people think it is. They see, like, his size. He's always 238. He could move inside. Sure, that'd be easy. But you see the game completely differently.
You do. And I'll say this too, watching him on tape, he might be the best at setting the edge for a guy his size. I mean, he plays with some freaking aggressiveness. And
yeah, he does.
He'll get pulled yards and stuff coming at him that outweigh him by 40, 50 pounds, and he holds his ground. It's impressive.
And when he gets a gap, though, like as soon as he gets it, he's like, he's through there. Like there were plays he made on running backs against Oregon that it was like an outside stretch play to the far side of the field, and he got a crease between the guard and the tackle, and it was boom down the line, and he was there for a tackle for a loss. Like he's got some impressive burst once he gets a seam.
He does, and I'm 100% with you. If the corners we like are off the board, if the tackles we like are off the board, and one of those two guys is sitting there at 17, I would have zero problem with that. I wouldn't. Let's talk a little bit of inside linebacker.
Sure.
It is fascinating how little they invested into looking at inside linebackers this year. I mean, they signed the two free agents, Roberts mm-hmm. and Holcomb, mm-hmm. and you've got Mark Robinson, mm-hmm. but it's not like you're sitting there with an all-pro or anything like that. I mean, what?
And they signed Tanner Muse, who was a guy we really liked in the draft a few years ago. Well, so the dumbass Raiders took him in the third round. We were sitting on the show like, oh yeah, like sixth round pick. This guy was great. He can play special.
You're
teams.
Right.
You could teach him linebacker because he played safety and he's a superb athlete. And then the stupid ass Raiders take him in the third round. And we're like, what the fuck is going You're on right. here?
I remember how pissed off we were. That's we right. Were. I mean. He comes in number one task, be a special teamer. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah.
Because they do have people to replace on special teams. I mean, no more Robert Spillane. Derek Watt looks like he's played his last game in Pittsburgh. So, you know, you've got guys to replace there. And do you think he would fit in there or a safety, maybe just dime backer? I don't know what they're going to do with him.
He's oversized for a safety. I think he fits best as an inside linebacker. Almost like a poor man's Dion Buchanan. Like, remember when he came out and the Cardinals picked him and he was a safety in college and they moved him to inside linebacker. And he was really good. So that's why I said a poor man's Dion Buchanan, but Muse was incredibly athletic. I mean, he blew the testing off the charts. I mean, I think his RAS score was like a 9.8 or something like that. It was crazy high. And for both at safety and linebacker at the time. So, but I think he was in the like 235, 237 range, which you're like, that's a little heavy for a safety. So let's put you at linebacker,
right?
Which is what the inside linebackers are playing at now.
It is.
So it's not that big a deal. So, I think we have four inside linebackers right now. I mean, we got Roberts, we got Holcomb, we got Mark Robinson, and we got Tanner Muse. So, it's not as big of a need. And this isn't a good class of inside linebackers. There might not be any taken in the first round. That said, like Trenton Simpson from Clemson, Jack Campbell from Iowa, Tomlin and Colbert were at both of their pro days. So like, those are both guys that I'm like, once again, way too rich for 17, but at 32 wouldn't hate it.
Right.
Like we take either of those guys at 32. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to complain about it.
Could handle it.
Yeah.
They also saw Henry Teotio. I don't know if I said that right.
Alabama. Because everyone went to Alabama's pro day. And then
absolutely.
New inside linebackers coach Aaron Curry went to Tulane's pro day for Dorian Williams as well. But really, that's it. That's the only guys they've seen. And they're probably a little bit familiar with Dennis from Pitt just because he played at Pitt. But Dennis put up some really good testing Great. Numbers.
Yes, too. He did.
So, but he's probably a seventh round guy. So, you know, that's another one of those .
And his first name, is that Servacha?
Yeah.
I did say that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure I had that right. So, the more I look at what they've invested into scouting inside backers, I'm really thinking that it probably does not happen. Now, maybe they take somebody in the seventh, just like, oh, hey, we need a special teamer. But, you know, to your point, they've got four backers now, and that's what they're going to roll with.
Yeah. That said, all of them are on short-term deals. So, if once again, if they're planning for the future, but like, if Jack Campbell's there at 49 and they pull the trigger, I'm going to be like, that's a pretty damn good pick at 49.
Agreed.
So, yeah, that's one of those I wouldn't reach for one because we kind of have four on the roster right now. But if someone falls to you, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, we'll take this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think safety is the biggest wild card in the draft for us. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has kind of like bought in that Keanu Neal was a guy we liked coming out in the draft, but he's had some injuries. He's been okay. But he's pretty much in the box, big hitting safety. And if we can improve upon that, we will. But I just don't know, because Brian Branch really, to me, is the only first-round safety. He has the ability to cover in the slot, too. Mm-hmm. But after that, it kind of falls really quickly to, like, mostly third, fourth-round guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And on the current roster, too, I mean, the contract they signed Neal to was backup money. I mean, they were not paying him starter money.
Yes.
So really, I mean, I think your starters are Fitzpatrick and KZ, and Neal's kind of that dime backer. And then you also have Trey Norwood and Killebrew as your special teams guys. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have five safeties right now. Riley, they had at the end of last year, he actually got a hat for a couple games because of a few injuries.
He did.
I think what they have right now in the secondary is the ability to be multiple, right?
Yeah.
Like if Fitzpatrick's obviously a true free safety center fielder, you can put him wherever you want him. If you want to play cover two, you can play Fitzpatrick and KZ, and they both have the speed and range to cover. Mm-hmm. If you want to play heavier, you could like single high, you could play Minka back, and Neal is more of a box true strong safety kind of player.
Yep.
If you want to mix and match guys, you could put all three of them on the field and move Minka around and try and put him in some robber positions. I think they have the ability to be multiple now and not lock guys into roles like they were in the past. Like, oh, Minka's got to be the free and Terrell mm-hmm. Edmonds has mm-hmm. to be the strong. And yes, depending on the personnel on the field, you're going to kind of know what defense they're playing, but nevertheless, like they have that greater ability, to utilize their safeties in different ways.
It is fascinating that, Tomlin has always really prized versatility with linemen, offensive, defensive linemen. And he really didn't as much with other players, but that's changed. And it goes to exactly what you're saying is he likes to be able to move those pieces around in the secondary. I don't think it's out of the realm that they take somebody maybe in the third round. I think you
Jair
look at
Brown from Penn State's a name to remember there.
I am right with you. He's been comped to Ryan Clark. Mm-hmm. And look, did
hopefully
Clark
have a little less of a mouth, but
right. Did Clark have a few limitations? Yes. But was he the perfect complement to Troy Polamalu? I think he was. Mm-hmm. And so Brown, yeah, I think Brown's a guy to keep an eye on. Yeah. Jordan Battle's a possibility out of Alabama. They've seen him both at the pro day and then, was he in for a visit or
remember. I think Grady Brown, secondary coach, went to Bama's pro day, probably both for Branch and Battle.
Yeah.
And on Branch, I would not hate that pick at 17. Like if we took Brian Branch at 17, I would be like, this is good. We got a dude. Like he's a dude. He's a baller. Like you can put him on the field. And the biggest issue we had last year in the secondary was on ball coverage. And Branch, I mean, he's drawn comparisons to Minka Fitzpatrick a lot, but I think for good reason, because when Minka came out, there was talk of like, do you spend a first round pick on a guy who's just a slot corner, or like, could you play him? Like, should you play him at safety? But and Branch is kind of the same way, that he can play slot corner, he could play safety. He's got some ball skills. You can move him around a bit, and just sort of fantasizing about what you could do in a secondary with both him and Minka, where you never know where they're going to go together. Like, two of those kind of guys would be incredible. So, plus right now, you know, Arthur Millett cannot cover out of the slot. He's a fine, you know, like sort of blitzing slot, defend the run, but short area coverage, but he cannot cover down the field.
No,
if you
totally
draft
agree.
If you draft a Brian Branch, that actually gives you an ability to cover the middle of the field better against tight ends, against slot receivers. So I would not at all be opposed to Brian Branch at 17.
I wouldn't either. And one of the things I like about him is that he didn't test all that well, but when you watch him on tape, it's like, wait a minute, is that the same guy? Because he makes plays. He gets around the ball, seems to be pretty smart, obviously extremely flexible with what he can do. So I don't think I would hate it either because of what he would allow the rest of the defense to do.
And there's, you know, and you always say, like, there's, you know, Tomlin calls it football in shorts, right?
Right.
That there's football in shorts, and then there's game speed. And what you can run in a 40 isn't necessarily how fast you play, right? Like, Hines Ward outran D'Angelo Hall once with one shoe on to the end zone. and that's pure game speed. That's I have this ball and want to score. I don't care that you ran a 4.340 or that I only have one shoe on. I'm going to get to the end zone.
Yep.
And sometimes that's just it. Plus, what you mentioned about his smarts, like, being able to read and react and diagnose things can make up for a lack of athleticism sometimes. Not necessarily in the case of, you know, our favorite HVAC contractor, Robert Spillane, but, you know, where he knew where he needed to be but just couldn't physically get there. But I think Branch has enough athleticism that he both knows where he needs to be and can get there. And just getting those guys, especially on the back end, who are those instinctive players and can read and react, like, it's a tremendous difference.
Totally agree. Burner asked, you know, will he make it to 32?
I don't think he makes it to
32. I don't either. I think somebody, even if he was sitting there in the late 20s, I think somebody would move up and grab him. I think he's that good, but oh man, are you kidding me though? If he was there at 32 and we were too, and right now, I would love it.
At 32, that's a run to the podium pick.
Yeah,
at 17, at 17, that's a, like, I'm happy with this pick. At 32, that's a run to the podium.
Right.
Pick.
That's like, hey, commissioner, get out of the bathroom. We need to get this show underway.
That's one of those, like, you sign him to a contract before night two even starts, because we're like, we're taking you
right
with the first pick of the second round.
Just one other guy that they did see up close and personal was, because they were at Iowa State, was Anthony Johnson Jr. Who?
Oh yeah, that's right. They went to Iowa State.
Yeah, I know. It's just still fascinates the hell out of me. But, you know, they had a bunch of players. They had a receiver there, Xavier Henderson, and obviously
McDonald
for
like what, 6-6 team that barely made a bowl game,
right? Like, right.
Although they played that dumbass dime defense, but
I was
so mad watching that tape. I was like, what the fuck defense are they playing?
The Big 12. All they do is throw the ball.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, I'm watching this pass rusher who's lined up as part of a 3-man line, and like, oh, it was so, yeah, it was frustrating. The other guy's Daniel Scott from California, I think is like maybe a fourth round kind of guy. They brought him in for a pre-draft visit. He's gotten some buzz too.
Yeah, and very under the radar. I mean, as a lot of those Cal guys are. All right, let's flip it over to cornerbacks. And unlike some of the other positions on defense, they did a ton of work on quarterbacks, dating back to like the Senior Bowls and Shrine Bowl, personal visits, pro days. I think if we could get Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon, I think we would love it, absolutely love it. At 17, unlikely to happen. So that pretty much opens the floodgates for everybody else. You know, Joey Porter Jr., Deontay Banks, Forbes from Mississippi State, who's just a wicked ball hawk, but he weighs like 8 pounds. You know, and then you get into Ringo, DJ Turner, Darius Rush, Tyreek Stevenson, and so on. So, Christian Gonzalez, please post a picture of yourself wearing a gas mask.
So he falls to 17.
So he falls. he's probably watching the show right now. So Christian, yes. you saw the message, man. Please follow through. Where do you think this is going? Do you think maybe they go first round or do they wait?
Well, I mean,
obviously, it's
what do they do always depends on who's on the board, right?
Absolutely. Right.
You know, so right now you've got Patrick Peterson, who's a starter. You've got Levi Wallace, who I guess is a starter. You've got Arthur Millett, who I suppose is your nickel cornerback. You've got Akella Weatherspoon, who I am shocked is still on the roster.
It's amazing.
You've got James Pierre, who they re-signed to a one-year deal. But was that like an exclusive rights deal or something like that? It was a tender deal, I thought. He's a special teams guy right now to me. Mm-hmm. But they still need another corner, at least one, maybe two.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely space on the roster to add corners.
Yep.
They have put like no interest into Witherspoon from Illinois. No. I think they kind of figure he's not making it past Detroit at six if he makes it that far.
Right.
You know, and so the good news for you, Mark, is you might get to watch him play in Detroit.
Not when I get that new Sunday ticket for the cost of my liver.
But, yeah, I was going to say, how many organs are you selling for that one?
Right,
You know, I think Witherspoon very well may be the first corner off the board.
Yeah.
And then Gonzalez, I'd be surprised if he makes it out of the top 15 just because of the value of cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. After that, you've got Joey Porter Jr., who they've put some time into. Let's not, you know, lie about it. And yes, Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin did not go to Penn State's pro day because they were in Arizona for the owners meetings, and Andy Weidel did go. So I think one of the things we've been kind of talking about and interested in, throughout this new regime is kind of how does the split work between Khan and Weidel and who makes decisions. And, any time that they've signed a guy who was anywhere near associated with the Philadelphia Eagles, everyone's like, Andy Weidel at work, you know, which is probably kind of true because he knew those guys.
Right.
So it seems like Weidel's had a big hand in free agency. And they did kind of say, like, you know, Andy, I don't remember who it was. Someone's interview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was Rooney or Khan said like, oh, Andy Weidel's gonna like set the board and Khan and Tomlin will make the pick, basically.
Right.
So that said, like, how much weight does Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin going to a pro day have versus Andy Weidel going to a pro day? Like, we don't know that yet because it's our first time through it.
Yep.
So, you know, Weidel did go to Penn State. They also took secondary coach Grady Brown, and Porter came in for a pre-draft visit. So they've had multiple points of contact with him. I know we've talked a lot about Joey Porter Jr. on the show of we're kind of afraid of how handsy he can get, that he seemed like he might be a penalty machine. He's aggressive. He's a good tackler. Seems like he's always around the ball. He produced a bunch of turnovers at Penn State. A lot of them were fumbles though, 'cause he's a big hitter. But he is very, very grabby and very physical at all times during the play, not just after the after the catch.
And Tomlin already knows him about as well as you could know a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so,
and literally about as well as you could know a guy, because you may know the history here, but in high school, Mike Tomlin's sons and Joey Porter Jr. were at North Catholic together, my alma mater, while Jason Gilden was the head coach. And then when Jason Gilden got fired from North Catholic, the Porters went to North Allegheny, which, you know, around Pittsburgh, we jokingly call like the University of North Allegheny, because for a public school, they have an insane amount of students. Like, it's crazy how many kids go there. It's like a Texas sized school in Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then the Tomlins went to Shadyside Academy, a private prep school.
That's right.
But Tomlin's kids did play with Joey Porter Jr. for a little while at North Catholic. And obviously the relationship between you know, Mike Tomlin and Joey Porter Sr., they're very familiar with each other.
Yes, absolutely. Let me give you a little scenario here.
Yeah.
If Christian Gonzalez, let's say, is still sitting there at 12 yes. or 13, hold on, I'm not done.
If it's a number bigger than 9, the answer is yes.
Okay. Just let 12 or 13. But so is Broderick Jones. What do you do?
I like Broderick Jones a lot. 12 or 13. I'd consider if Paris Johnson's off the board, I think the drop off from Broderick Jones to Darnell Wright is, I mean, Wright would be fine at 17. I wouldn't hate it, but the drop off from Jones to Wright, I would be like, I might consider pulling the trigger to move up to 13 or 14 to get Broderick Jones. That said, I like Christian Gonzalez more than Broderick Jones personally. Okay. But that's just me. But I mean, if Christian Gonzalez makes it to 9, I would start considering moving up for him. But Broderick Jones is so damn good too. Like both of them, yeah. both of them would be great. Can I, in this scenario, can I trade Deontay Johnson for a pick? Because the yes. wide receiver draft class is so bad.
In fact, you can trade Deontay to all 31 teams because allegedly that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
He's going to be traded to everybody sometime in the next 7 days. So.
I'll trade Deontay to whoever has the number 12 pick. Christian Gonzalez, and then I'll hope Broderick Jones makes it to me at 17.
Perfect.
And if he doesn't, if he makes it to like 14, then I'll trade up again and take him then.
By the way, Big Ben's burner said if Joey Porter Jr. had the name of Tommy Schmuckatelli, he wouldn't have nearly as much hype. Now, let me tell you, I played ball with a Tommy Schmuckatelli, and he was a very average player, but boy, could his mother make some fine sauce and meatballs, be that as it may.
We should talk about these like guys that will be available at 32 though, because there's a lot of guys that are pretty good that they've put some time into.
That's exactly where I was going.
I didn't want you to end the show yet because I'm gonna stay here.
So
here to talk over me, so I know I
right
I want to.
Right you've got Banks sitting there, Forbes, Ringo. Some think DJ Turner, Clark Phillips, Thaddeus Rush. You start getting into the third round stuff, you know, Tyreek Stevenson. Ike Taylor was down in Miami and saw him. I think he had a visit to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you got Julius Brent, who's probably a third rounder there at Kansas State. So that there's a real big group in there. And that's why I kind of wonder if that's not the direction they go. If Gonzalez, Witherspoon, Porter are let's say already gone. Although I really like Banks. I just don't know that I could do him at 17.
Yeah. I like Banks a lot too. Honestly, best case scenario for us is if someone takes Joey Porter Jr. before 17, because then we don't even have to make that choice, right?
Then it's
that is the best case scenario of like don't have to even consider that he's not there. I like Forbes a lot from Mississippi State. You're right, he doesn't weigh very much, but he's over 6 foot, so it's like he's got the frame to add weight.
You'd think, right?
Yeah. And he ran a 4.35 40. I mean, he's got
6 touchdowns to the house off interceptions. I mean, you can't teach that.
No. And he's still a relatively young guy too. So, you know, I like Forbes a lot. I like Banks and Forbes. I like both of them a lot. Yeah. Ringo, he's kind of a like Ringo. I'm kind of like, if we take him at 49, that's fine. If we take him at 32, absolutely do not want him at 17.
No.
I like Rush from South Carolina, and I like Brents a lot from Kansas State too. Also new Ian, who also joined our Steel City Blitz crew, likes Brents a whole lot. And I think they like Stevenson a little bit too, considering they sent Ike Taylor to his pro day and brought him in for a pre-draft visit. Cause that seems like one of those, like, we saw enough at your pro day. We want to know a little more about you. So we're going to bring you here to talk to you again. Yep. So I think, I think Stevenson is on the radar in the second to third round. I like, there's a lot of guys I think can be quality players that are going to be available in the second round here.
And might I also mention that Ringo shares the last name of a villain from the classic outstanding movie Tombstone. And unless we're getting a guy with the last name of Holiday on the other side, I really don't want anything to do with him.
See, I thought we should take Ringo and then Zach Harrison from Ohio State and have, you know, half the Beatles for us.
But yes. Well played there. Yeah. No McCartneys or Lennons running around the NFL right now. Ringo could be a star. He could be. He very well could be. There's just some things with the way he does things in coverage that worry me.
Mark completely missed your Beatles reference there. That was just like way over his head.
No, I did. I saw it. Ringo could be a star.
Yeah. You were just talking about how he could be good. You didn't actually like acknowledge the.
I had mentioned it when you mentioned the Beatles thing. Yeah. Okay. It's clearly getting to be late for me. Steelers could use some T.E. Strange. Freak is on a roll tonight, man. He's coming up with some good ones tonight. But there are, Ian. There's a ton of those guys in there in that second, third round range that I think would fit. And I would also like to just welcome in Mr. Bozic, who mentioned there's a lot of positivity, fewer interruptions tonight. He's not sure what we're doing differently.
I don't know.
I honestly don't know either. Yeah. I mean, I have some theories, but I don't know. We'll have to think about it. Anyway, so, you know, another guy they looked at was Riley Moss, kid from Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, he could be that second defensive back that we take, that second corner, because I think – I mean, I've believed all along they're going to draft either two corners or a corner and a safety in this draft. I just have a hard time – not seeing that happen, but
yeah, Moss feels like a seventh round pick.
Yeah,
at the tail end,
right, and if he's there, I could see it.
Maybe not seventh, maybe a little better than that, maybe like fourth. Like if they don't take a corner in the first three rounds, maybe in the fourth. But yeah, it's so hard because we don't have like a fifth or sixth round pick. So I want to say like, oh yeah, he's a mid round pick, but I'm like, wait, we don't have any.
We don't have one. Right. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Anything else, Ian? I'm going to try to bring in Mr. Casey Kasem here.
I've talked a lot and this whiskey is delicious. So while you work on technology, will once again highly recommend the Redemption Rye. It is fantastic. It is so smooth, and for being a 92 proof whiskey, it's got a little burn, but not a ton of burn. Okay. It is very good. The Redemption bourbon in general is very good. But the rye is wow. I just bought it and just opened it tonight before the show. I was not expecting it to be this good. It is amazing.
Well, the fine folks at Redemption owe us some money.
They could also sponsor the show.
They're more than welcome to throw some money our way. Please do. Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, last week we had him audio. This week, I believe we have video here. So bear with me if I don't get it quite right. But anyway, here is Mr. Casey Kasem returning to the show.
Casey's Coast to Coast. American Top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was April 20th, 1980. Ryan for Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey. Hello, yeah, it's been a while. Not much. How about you? I'm not sure why I wrote. I guess I really just wanted to talk to you. There you have it, Casey. Some England Dan and John Ford Coley. I'd really love to see you tonight. Dan, of course, being Dan Seals of Seals and Crofts. I'm sure you've heard of Seals and Crofts. They're not quite Pickett to Pickens, but who is? Anyways, I'd really love to see you tonight. Made it all the way up to number 2 on the charts in 1976. If only the Steelers' offense could rank number 2 in points scored. For those keeping track at home, under Matt Canada, the Steelers haven't cracked the top 20 in points scored. Casey, I find myself in a predicament. I want to be optimistic, but I also acknowledge the Steelers' current offensive coordinator is about as effective as a wheelbarrow with flat tires. Let's just say the Steelers add some explosive players in the draft. Can an abundance of talent on offense compensate for a coordinator that's clearly in over his head? Well, let's run another jet sweep to Gunner to find out. Casey, it's wild that the draft is already next week. Time is a weird thing. For instance, our newborn is absolutely perfect between the hours of 4:01 a.m. and 10:59 p.m. But between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m., he's a goddamn gremlin. The days fly by, but the nights are long. I'm sure those waiting to be drafted feel a similar way. The whole process, training, interviews, etc., has probably flown by. But it'll feel like forever waiting to get that phone call on draft night. It doesn't matter what team it is. Call me. Well, Ryan, you're a poet and you didn't even know it. Staying at number 1 for the second consecutive week off the American Gigolo soundtrack, here's Blondie with Call Me.
Wow.
He called his kid a gremlin.
You know, I say all the time to people, I'm like, look, being a parent is awesome 98% of the time.
Yes.
But that other 2% always happens between like 2 and 4 a.m. And it's 2%. Just like, it's just those late night when you like get to sleep and you're like, I'm gonna get some sleep, and then you wake up an hour later and you're like, oh shit.
That
2 to 4 a.m. block is just brutal.
So good to see Ryan's learning the ropes there with his newborn, and he did a fine job. Glad he took the time there to put that together for everybody. Anyway, so we will be live next week. I do not exactly know when we'll be live, but
here's what I'll say. If the Steelers trade up, we will be getting on immediately.
Yes.
If not, probably sometime in the like 10 to 12 to 13 pick.
I agree. We will be on. I think that's probably the way to go, and I think that's what we'll do. But I'll have everything, ready to roll if Omar Khan starts wheeling and dealing a little earlier than expected. So. Yeah. Anyway, thank you to everybody that jumped on tonight. We know the show was not nearly as entertaining as it is when we're being interrupted constantly by some asshole on the West Coast. But be that as it may, make sure you check out the site, steelcityblitz.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that other good stuff. And maybe Ryan will show up next week. We don't know.
Maybe Ben won't be a bitch next week. I don't know.
Wow. But anyway, we will see you live for draft night. This has been the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
And hey, the Ravens still suck.
Wah, wah.